This is the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast, the Full Moon Podcast, Podcast 406. Well, it's almost a full moon, and I am out here in my front yard. Sometimes I crack myself up with the crazy schemes that I come up with for recording podcasts. I've recorded a lot of podcasts in the backyard, and it has been, you know, the problem with the backyard is that I end up tracking dirt in and out of the house. Sometimes it's muddy over there. And so today I did something really fun. I pulled up at a client's place of business and produced a spot for him right there in the ambulance. And I thought that was pretty cool. You can't get that from any radio station. And I'll be playing that spot on the next podcast, not on this podcast, but you'll be hearing it soon. And I was pretty excited about doing that. So I get home and I think something I've been wanting to do for a while is, you know, the mobile unit has all these doors and compartments that have internal access. So you can string things from inside outside. And usually when I do podcasts, I do it from inside the vehicle. And if I were to drag the mics out the main door, the cords wouldn't be long enough and it just would be too difficult. I couldn't keep the door shut and I would, you know, there'd be bug issues inside the vehicle. So what I did was on one side where the oxygen tanks used to be, there's like this little panel that opens up and you can string the cable out. So the mics have been strung out through the oxygen door. And I mean, any EMTs will know exactly what I'm talking about. And then I have the mixer and everything on a little desk right inside by that little door. So I can access the computer and I can access the mixing console and everything else if I put my arm through the little door. So I'm very excited about this. And this is just another one of those things that makes me feel like I'm 13 years old. But it's cool because I could essentially set up someplace with the mic set up outside in front of the vehicle with the logo and everything and do interviews or something, whatever I decided to do once I got all the levels set and got everything working. So we're outside. I don't think it's going to rain. It might start to rain. And if it does, you know, I'm out in the front yard. If it starts to rain, this party is going to be over real quick because all this stuff is going right inside. But that is what is going on. So this is podcast 406. Going to talk about the blood moon and prophecy and weird stuff going on because I'm still not feeling it with the news these days. And we'll talk about that in podcast 406. Well, you know that I talk a lot about tech and manufacturing, and when I do so, I think of Bocklund R&D. I've often mentioned that Bocklund isn't just a machine shop or manufacturer, but they're toolmakers and innovators. If you're searching for the right manufacturer, learn about Bocklund R&D at Bocklund.com, B-A-K-L-U-N-D.com, including the latest development at Bocklund, micro-machining and micro-molding of implantable plastics and metals. Here's the deal. Most small parts have to be assembled. You know this if you are a company that's working in small, scale, medical devices, things like that. It can be complicated. It can be costly. With micro machining, Bocklund manufactures small work with a single piece of material, and the result is more accuracy, strength, and a more durable part. Micro molding starts at 0.003 cubic inches and below and is done in a clean room environment, which is perfect for medical devices and electronics. Don't forget to sign up for more webinars at Bocklund.com to stay on top of the latest developments. And remember, design and 3D printing, wicked fast turnaround times, real client service, real resources about Bocklund at Bocklund.com. Innovative solutions, Bocklund research and development. Here's what you do. Contact John Bocklund or Vice President Tara Bocklund at Bocklund.com and ask about what they can do for you. Find out what energy, wisdom, knowledge, and imagination can do for your company today at Bocklund.com, B-A-K-L-U-N-D.com. And thanks, John and Tara, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So this time of the year is really a perfect time to podcast live from the front yard. First of all, it's well after midnight, and I love doing this stuff from the front yard because nobody's walking by. There's no action. My neighbors are probably in the back watching TV, so they won't necessarily hear anything. It is a full moon tonight. It's an odd sort of night. The planes have landed pretty much, so I think we're through with that, although we might yet hear a plane or or something weird while we're sitting out here. The trees are still full, but it's getting toward fall. It's the end of summer, and you can feel it. So this is going to be a full moon podcast. We have another blue moon, sort of. This is the second, I think, full moon in 1 month. The state fair started today, so it is officially really the end of summer. You know, in another week, actually before the end of the week, kids in Minneapolis have already gone back to school. And then after Labor Day, of course, kids will be heading back to school. And I actually really do have that back to school feeling. It has been a great summer of news cleansing and covering the first few big events in the Mobile Podcast Command Unit. I think, what was it, the first trip I took was out east to Washington, D.C. Actually, the first trip was in early spring, and that was out into California. And the trip out east, weirdly, was not as exciting as the trip out to L.A. and Napa Valley. And, you know, obviously I learned a few things along the way about podcasting on the run and figuring out what needs to be done and what problems I have to solve and how to solve those problems. But the really fun things to cover this summer were the political events in Waukesha and Davenport, Iowa, and the EAA air show at Oshkosh, and of course, Sturgis, which I just came back from, followed up with a trip back over to North Central Wisconsin to hang out with my friend Steve. You guys followed those podcasts, you know what I did. And yeah, more road trips are going to follow. I'm really not sure yet where I want to go and how I want to go. I kind of want to go cover a hurricane. But so far, we haven't had one, even though, what is it, Tropical Storm Erica is being covered. You know, this is, I'm almost thankful for it because they scramble all of the newsmen and the weather guys, and they all head to Florida. I'm just not sure I want to burn a trip to Florida now or the southeastern U.S. this early in the year. I kind of want to go to Florida after December, obviously, because it's warm. But the second thing is, you know, Florida will be a fairly early primary state. It's going to be a very interesting and important primary state. So that's going to be one of the things I want to go to. I just can't decide when. I would like to go to a hurricane. So I have to figure out if I don't necessarily want to take this thing into a Category 5. But I suppose they could get fairly close. So if it was going to hit Florida, I could maybe go to South Carolina or Georgia and get out onto the what is that little island that the islands that sort of run up and down those coasts. I always forget the name of those things. But I am going to be at the Agora Fest the weekend of September 25th in Frontenac, Minnesota. The organizers were like, this might not be good for your reputation, but I think it's going to be great. Agora Fest is a big anarchy libertarian group, and it's kind of Burning Man for Minnesota. That's kind of the way I look at it. There's going to be a lot of talk, and I think it's going to be one of those events that I expect to spark my imagination and some good times, and I think the podcasts from there are going to be great because these are really interesting people in general. So there's definitely going to be the Agora Fest coming up on the 25th of September. And for sure, some political events haven't decided yet because I'm still waiting. I'm working on business stuff this week and next week, and I'll tell you why. You know, when I was traveling, I would get this from people. They would say, yeah, I really wanted to call you about sponsorships, but you were out of town. And I have to remind people that the whole point of untethering is that you can reach me even if I'm in the mountains someplace. I have a cell phone, and I have a computer, and I have a printer, and I can do anything that that I do at the house, the headquarters, in the Mobile Podcast Command truck. So I have to let everyone know about that. But I'm going to hang out here for a while, taking care of some business stuff. There is going to be some announcements coming regarding the BobDavisPodcast.com. I'm going to do something I'm really actually very, very, very passionate and excited about. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now, but and it's not going to be anything earth-shattering. I don't want to create this impression that's going to be some kind of earth-shattering announcement. But I'm going to add a new wrinkle to the Bob Davis podcast, and I'm pretty excited about that. But other than that, I find myself waiting for something to happen. So coming up in September is a lunar eclipse, a partial eclipse, I think, on September 13th, and a full moon lunar eclipse on September 28th, right? This is the fourth in the 2014 through 2015 lunar tetrad. And it is also a quote-unquote blood moon, where at the height of the eclipse, the moon turns red because the sun is shining around the Earth as it passes between the sun and the moon. Lunar eclipses are weird and powerful enough, and I usually feel them, if that's possible, as many as a few weeks before. It's like an intensity that I notice. And I seem to notice that other people seem to be a little bit more intense before these things happen. So we have two eclipses coming up, and then I think there's a solar eclipse, because these things always occur sort of in tandem. The tetrad has been described as part of a biblical prophecy, but I found a couple of facts that I wanted to relate, and you can take them as you... I talk to a lot of people, and they bring this tetrad thing up because there's a lot of stuff online about these things being prophetic and the harbinger of bad things to happen. First of all, eclipses historically with human beings, before science, before astronomy, people viewed them with fear because they're so odd. And I mean, even tonight, today, when you look at a moon that is afflicted, that has that red color, and I know we've all seen them. If you haven't, it's really something to see. It causes you to kind of go, wow, that's pretty intense. It reminds us that we are in a solar system and not on some soundstage somewhere. Astronomers, I discovered, do not use the term blood moon. Blood moons are not rare, nor are tetrads. They happen all the time. So when we talk about black swan events, I doubt they have anything to do with these eclipses, despite my wishful thinking about being able to, quote, feel them before they happen. But it got me thinking. First of all, I read that, and my understanding is that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, so... when they'll say things like, well, there's a reason why all the Jewish high holidays are on eclipses, because the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. That's the first thing that I read. The second thing is that astronomers never use the term blood moon. Any moon, you know, at least sometimes, because of the nature of eclipse, moons are going to be afflicted and they're going to be colored red. And it's the term is used to differentiate between other kinds of eclipses. Anyway, this whole thing got me thinking, especially with the things we have been talking about on the podcasts and the news of recent days, which is, first of all, you have the Trump stuff, and then you have weird political coverage, and you have the shooting of the TV reporter in Roanoke, Virginia, which I'm sorry to say I watched because it was out there just as it happened. I watched the video, and I wish I hadn't. It was really affected me in a negative way. I've never watched any of the beheading videos. I don't have any interest in seeing them. I think we watched one like 15 years ago, and I never wanted to see another one. And, you know, this one got me, and I didn't even think about it. And I clicked it, and I watched it, and it really bothered me. And so there's wall-to-wall coverage of that and all that it means and what it means and who knows what it means. It's true. I tend to lead with my feelings, intuition. But when I see this kind of stuff going on, my intuition tells me, still feeling as though something's out there. And my intuition generally does not fail me. And I do get things wrong, like this was going to be a super hot summer and it turned out not to be. But a prophet has to be correct 100% of the time, and I of course, am just a mere human, so I am not a prophet. I know a lot of people thought the China meltdown this week in podcast time was the event. I think I said it could have been, it might still be, but then again, it might not be. You know, they seem to have put a Band-Aid on it for the time being. Of course, the market's recovered for the time being. I'm certainly not going to tell you that Greece and China are the same. I wouldn't conflate the two. They're very different, and China is much more important to the world economy than the Greece situation. And I was pleased to note that more than one commentator said some of the things I said in that podcast on the day of the market crash in the U.S., namely that it is too early to tell what the events in China will be. They have some pretty solid reserves, and that the thing to watch for is political unrest in China due to financial distress. The other thing somebody pointed out that I thought was pretty cool is, you know, everyone was freaking out because China holds, you know, they quote unquote hold our debt, which means they have invested in the United States by buying treasury bills, and they sold something like $114 billion worth in the last few weeks in an effort to stave off this financial distress in China, and the United States still rolls forward, and somebody is buying T-bills. So I think it's really interesting that that one argument may have been debunked. We'll see. But I still think people are acting weird. And I still think that the political realm is silly. to be quite honest. We have another Republican debate coming up on September 16th or so, by the way, right in the teeth of that first eclipse, people. And it came to me today that what is going on with all these candidates, Republican and Democrat, is not necessarily a sign of strength in our political system, but a sign of weakness, the weakness of both parties to find the fall line or even that vein of response in the public's view of what it is that they're concerned about, or maybe Donald Trump has found it, which also is not a sign of strength in our political movement due to the fact that many of his arguments are rhetorical. I have to say, I did watch the Ramos-Trump thing, and I found that to be entertaining. And I also found it to be interesting to me that at least one reporter considers it his role to debate these candidates instead of simply to ask them questions. And I think that's also instructive. So my view of Trump in the Republican Party is that he isn't so much a sign of the strength of Republicans as a sign of the weakness of all of the other Republican candidates. And the fact that the Democrats want to put up the vice president now and get rid of Hillary is a sign of their weakness, I think, as well. This is one of the reasons I think the other shoe is going to drop. Something else has to happen to spin the action. I just don't know what it is. I just have that very strong feeling. And I think right now what we're seeing are fears, frustration, and anger animating what passes for political discussion right now. And I just don't think you can build a presidential election effort on that. Maybe you can. And I'll be wrong about this, too. We'll see. I do think a President Trump would... Maybe some people deserve a President Trump. I don't know. We'll see. One of my favorite shows is called Air Disasters. I don't know who. I think it's on the Nat Geo channel. I'm not sure, but I love watching that. I love watching that show. No, it's on the Smithsonian channel. And if you have iTunes or whatever it is, Apple TV, you can pull it up pretty easily. But I love Air Disasters. And one of the things that I actually had a guy on once that I interviewed on this, and I read the book as well about disasters. But I learned when I read that, I didn't really understand how bad things happen until I read that. And, you know, a system, any system, whether it's a political system or an economic system or anything else, can tolerate one mistake, maybe two. But the third is catastrophic, and it starts to cascade. I've talked about this before. You know, the oil rig that tips over. There's a great story about an oil rig that tipped over during a storm. And I think what happened was somebody opened an air vent or literally a window on one of the lower decks, and then there was a fire. And during the attempt to put the fire out, they were using, you know, water, and it ran down the inside and destabilized the rig. And then a storm came, and the water came in through the window, and the thing capsized. So, you know, that's an example. Any one of those things could have been dealt with, but the third thing was the window open, and that was the end of it. Another example is a pilot flying through fog who turns off the altimeter warning bell but forgets to set the altimeter to the local sea level, and then the airport doesn't have the right equipment to tell him where he is. Then there's a language barrier, and they fly too low and crash. Any one of those things by themselves could have been survivable, but the third is the final mistake, and that's the one that cascades and causes these disasters. So when we look for events that literally change history, we have to try to figure out what the mistakes we're making right now are. So when I think about black swans, you know, I think what mistakes are we making now that we don't know? You have to think of all the systems that could produce a catastrophic result if a couple of innocent mistakes produce a cascading crisis, and that's really hard to do. You know, we have a lot of complex systems in our society. We have a complex society. In itself. Sometimes, you know, when you actually look at the systems, they're not that complex, and then sometimes they're really complex. And here again, one thing that might be manageable is fine, and then a second thing comes along, and that's probably manageable, and then there's a third thing that knocks the whole thing off the blocks, and then you have this thing that happens. So it wouldn't be the China meltdown by itself unless there are other elements underlying that meltdown that we don't know about. So if there's an economic problem, then there are other pieces that we don't know about. In 2008, we didn't know the exposure to certain banks to those securities. We didn't understand, well, some people did and some people predicted it, but most of the analysts and everybody really didn't understand how serious that problem was. And then, of course, I think to a large degree what happened there was the reaction to it was, you know, was as much a part of the cause to the crisis than the actual crisis itself, kind of like what happened in 1929. Now, it just feels like there's something out there. It probably won't be a foreign policy situation unless there's stuff we don't know about underlying some foreign policy thing. It could be something totally weird and unpredictable. For example, people who were on AshleyMadison.com probably didn't expect it to be hacked. Probably that was the last thing on their mind. They were just trying to have some fun or kind of to exchange an adultery, you know, depending on how you look at it. Maybe you think it serves them right, but believe me, the last thing that they were thinking about was that it would be hacked, right? And in terms of a personal situation, that might just be the straw that breaks the camel's back for somebody. And I love the story this week that somebody said that they thought some of the market meltdown was people selling their stock to prepare for their imminent divorces as the result of the Ashley Madison hack, right? But it just feels like something weird is out there lurking. And other people have corresponded with me recently saying that they think the same thing. I would love to hear what you think, and I'd love to post some of those comments. And you can make them in the comment sections at thebobdavispodcast.com, or you can email them to me. I'm not so much interested in what you think it is, but why you think what you think, whether or not you think, don't tell me if you think I'm crazy, because I am. But I mean, if you agree that you have this feeling, I'd love to know the nature of your feeling, because that tells me more than what your particular idea about what it could possibly be is. Maybe it's just the September effect. You know, 9/11 literally happened out of a clear blue sky, and later it seems so, well, it seems so academic that that's what they would do, but no one could have predicted it, even though a caller did predict it on my show that night at KSTP. But it's a true story. We were talking about the end of an era. We were talking about the bill for the Clinton administration that hadn't been presented yet. We were talking about what could happen, and somebody said, well, you know, they could fly planes into a building, and everyone laughed, and it happened the next day. And it's enough to say that it feels like that right now without having to say what it might be, because I have no idea, and I'm not going to try to say. And maybe there's nothing. Maybe the thing is nothing, and we're stuck with this bizarre political season and these crazy people running for president and these crazy people doing crazy things out there on a day-to-day basis. And that's one of the reasons that I'm still not fully engaged. It still feels, you know, it still feels like back to school. It still feels like I'm getting ready for the first day of school. Got my new jeans, got my new Keds, got my new socks, got my new flannel shirt, and I'm ready for school. And, you know, it starts in a couple of days, and I'm ready to go, but I'm not ready. And my mind is not in that space right now. We'll just have to see what happens. But as I said, this is not interesting to me, what is happening right now, and why. Well, the political stuff has the feeling of being, I feel that it's being manipulated or managed to me, almost like a TV show. And I don't like that feeling, which is one of the reasons I'm saying what I'm saying. And I'm concerned that none of these candidates seem to have a real idea of what they actually want to do or even what the problem is. You know, Trump is great at throwing out rhetoric, but even the substantive stuff doesn't make a lot of sense to me with him. So I'm not so sure he's the guy. I just think he's throwing bombs. And I don't think any of these other guys have the substance to be able to figure out how to respond to it. I don't think anyone can actually define the problem right now. I think that's part of it. And I'm starting to think that the baby boom may have produced, think of the presidents the baby boom has produced. Bill Clinton, and a lot of people think Clinton was a great president, but a lot of people think he wasn't. George W. Bush, which he's going to go down in history as mediocre at best. Obama, he's going to go down in history as mediocre at best. And we think he's bad. What if the next guy is a baby boomer who's worse than Obama? I don't even want to think about that. So this is one of the reasons that I think we're on track to have some event occur, because no one is paying attention to the locomotive, such as it is, running down the track. Nobody's in the cab, you know, running the controls. It's just heading down the tracks. It's kind of frightening. Just like that train in the distance. The question is going to be whether we have the eyes to see it. And I don't know if you guys have watched the new Walking Dead. There's two Walking Dead series now. One is Don't Fear the Walking Dead, and the other one is The Walking Dead. And I watched the first episode and immediately bought a season pass. You know, just like, yeah, I'll take it. And At first, I thought this is not going to be that good. And you know what? It's just as good as the other one. I don't know what it is about zombies. But they nail me. They slay me every time. The question is going to be whether we have the eyes to see whatever is coming, if anything is coming at all. And it's fun to try to figure it out before it happens, because I think that takes away some of the fear. But what is passing for discourse right now is really nothing more than junk in my view. So, you know, I continue to watch. I haven't been printing. I'm afraid to. It's almost like back to school in terms of once I start printing things, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, I don't know if I want to go back to that right now. So I'm just sitting here. People doing all these crazy things, terrible things too. It feels to me that it's something like we'll talk about is happening before whatever it is that happens. What were we not doing before 9/11 that allowed it to be such a surprise? What were we not doing before Japan attacked us at Pearl Harbor? I mean, when you read the history books, it seems like they should have known, and many people think they did. Same with 9/11. What were we not doing when the market crashed in 1929? What were we not doing and seeing when the market crashed with its concomitant effects, in 2008? What were we not seeing then that was ended up being the trigger for this cascading problem? So then you look at these different areas, and again, I did this in the Black Swan podcast, so I don't want to do it again necessarily, but, you know, disease. We've had some plague infections, and we've had some legionnaires and things like that. Computer hacks. Ashley Madison got hacked. You know, there's been some hacks that have been going on that have been really underreported, in the government. Financial meltdowns that are kind of getting resolved, oddly enough, you know. An unrest somewhere in the rest of the world that unexpectedly spreads, whether it's the Middle East or Eastern Europe or, you know, someplace that we're not looking at right now. So it's what we're not looking at that is as interesting as what we are looking at. It's hard to tell. It's hard to predict. But as I said, really fun to think about for me. And I promise I won't do another prediction podcast. But I'm sitting here tonight and it's the end of the summer and it's so cool to be sitting outside in the yard. I've got the truck pulled up. I got the doors open. I got my little copy light on my copy stand and my microphones, and it's the middle of the night, and I'm out here doing this. I hope my neighbors aren't listening or watching me, because they probably think I'm insane, because I am. And it's just fun, and it's fun to think and talk about. But then again, it is the state fair. People are getting their cookies and their fries. The state food fair is really what it is. And I should mention this again. On the last podcast, I mentioned that back in the 80s, my friends and I did a podcast. It was an audio piece, 15 minutes or 11 minutes long, and we went all through the state fair back when the state fair was really still an agricultural fair and a carnival, and recorded a bunch of stuff. And it is podcast 19, and you'll have to listen to a bunch of crap before that, but you can fast forward through all that and get to the actual state fair, in the clear, the piece that we did. And I can't get over how much things have changed since then, how different people talk, and how bewitching the fair was to me at that time. And, you know, I've been to a lot of state fairs, and people ask me every year, are you going to go to the state fair? And these days, the greatest thing about not working radio is that I don't have to go to the state fair. I prefer to remember it the way it was the first summer that I went, because to me it was magical. I went out there, I was working for WCCO-TV, and we had to do I came up with the idea of doing a survey out there, and spent 10 days, 10 hours a day at the fair, and I couldn't get enough of it. It was fabulous. And then I never wanted to go again. But that was when all of the church diners were still there, the Epiphany, and the you had breakfast out there at that little waffle place that's gone. It's almost as though, and this is happening all over the place with all these events, Sturgis and the air show and Burning Man and all that stuff. These events, which have this sort of elemental beginning, have become these huge events that just pull people in because they have this great cred, and they're not the same as they were. And that's okay. I'm not judging the fair. It's fine. People are loving it. They're going. They love to go every year, but I prefer to remember what it was like in 1983, and I'll leave it at that. Well, thanks for listening to podcast 406, sponsored by Bockland R&D. Don't forget, when it comes to tech and manufacturing, it's all about Bockland R&D, B-A-K-L-U-N-D, Bockland. If you want information about micromachining and micromolding of implantable plastics and metals, that is the latest thing at Bockland. Sign up for the webinars. John will tell you all about it on those. And for more information, go to Bockland.com, B-A-K-L-U-N-D.com. And thanks, John, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. I got to thank the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis podcasts, Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's FAA approved now. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. I met a lot of pilots at the air show who have AOA in their planes and they swear by it. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at TheBobDavisPodcast.com. And thanks, Alpha, all you great guys at Alpha, for Mark and everybody else for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Really appreciate that. And thank you for listening on Stitcher.com. Of course, the granddaddy of podcasting, there's still great iTunes or TuneIn and blogtalkradio.com. And thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations as well at thebobdavispodcast.com. The next event is probably going to be Agora Fest, unless I decide to jump in the vehicle and head down to cover a hurricane. I'm watching Erica. I have a feeling it's not going to develop into a hurricane, but if it gets far enough up the coast, I might just make a run for it. We'll see. But thanks for your donations. It's buying diesel fuel and Komodo Dragon coffee for the vehicle, and I really, really appreciate that. And I appreciate you listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. It's always great to get correspondence and to hear from people and your comments on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And I should remind you, you can listen to the podcast right on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And very quickly, people sometimes say, you know, I heard half of the podcast, I was listening on the page and it quit. First of all, subscribing helps because you automatically download the podcast from iTunes. So that's one thing. The second thing is, if you're using an Android device and you're on Stitcher.com, same thing. You can download and subscribe. But sometimes you have to quit out of all the other apps in order for a podcast to play all the way through, because people don't realize with their smartphone, you know, it's a computer and you're running all these other apps and you're using up a lot of front-end memory. And if you have an older device, sometimes you don't have enough memory to download these big, full, high-quality audio files that I am such a fan of. So a couple of suggestions for various devices. Anything, I would say anything beyond a 4S or a 4C iPhone, you're not going to have any problems. And any of the new Android devices, you're not going to have any problems either. So sometimes it's just a matter of upgrading, getting a new phone. I know one of my friends, Greg Ryan, had a flip phone. And we kept saying, his daughter was saying, and his son and I was saying, you got to get an iPhone. And I'm not, I don't want to get one of those. And then somebody stole his phone. And he went and got a brand new iPhone. And now he just is singing the praises of the new iPhone 6. And I'm getting ready to get one myself after the new phone in iOS 9 comes out after September 6th. So there's a lot to look forward in September here at the Bob Davis Podcasts and in life. Thank you for listening to podcast 406. Another beautiful night out here. The kind of night I don't even want to use music. I just want to let you hear what it sounds like.